Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this choke cord. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is good, ladies and gentlemen? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slamming Me Wrestling Podcast. And I know what you're thinking. Deep, it's Wednesday. What is going on? Let me help you out here. The work schedule got changed around. So instead of Friday, you're getting this episode on Wednesday, one day after me and Wavy D just put out a really, really good conversation about the Royal Rumble. So go check that out. But also, just sort of a housekeeping update. If you don't follow the Discord, right, we have a special thing coming on Friday. You're still going to get some content on Friday. And this will be a pre-recorded, it wouldn't be live, but a pre-recorded episode. I'm actually going to record this in about, like, four or five hours from when I'm recording this right now. A pre-recorded sit-down interview with independent wrestler Vicious Vicky. I sort of teased this last Friday, and it's gonna be a great time. I'm really, you know, get to know her, get to know her career, and really just sit and hear her story. You know, when I started podcasting, I would just go down this rabbit trail. When I started podcasting, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be the interview guy, right? I wasn't sure if I wanted to be that dude that tried to reach out to, you know, wrestlers on the indie scene. Like, hey, come join my podcast. And, right. And for the most part, I'm glad I haven't been. Because this has been an avenue where I could just voice my opinion. I don't have to claim to be like a journalist. There's, you know, when you do interviews, you have to be, you know, you have to be somewhat professional in how you do it, right? You can't just bring them on and like, right? An interview has to come off professional. There's a lot of work that goes into it. When I tell you that once I got this confirmed, all I've ever, literally the only thing I've been thinking about since it's confirmed that the interview is actually happening is what questions am I going to ask? Like I have in my phone so many different like questions, and I'm not going to ask all of them, but it's one of those things that for me, I want, first off, I don't want to interview this person and put them in like a negative light. Right. And, but by, you know, cause the interviewer has that power to sway the interview. And I don't want to do that. I want to be fair, right? But I also don't want to, you know, be unprepared to where she comes on, the interview sucks, and the show just doesn't go well. And she's like, never coming back again, right? And so those are all possibilities, right? And so I think I got this. It's going to be a great conversation. Look out for that. That will be released on both audio and video on the YouTube and on the audio platforms on Friday. That will drop at 8 a.m. on Friday. So it'll be good for your commute if you're interested in hearing that sit-down interview with independent wrestler Vicious Vicky. But let's talk about this episode. This is real plain and simple, right? With the understanding when I was planning the show, with the understanding that last Saturday I did my Royal Rumble thoughts, right? We just talked about Royal Rumble on Tuesday's episode, which was yesterday, and that I wasn't going to have a lot of time in between recording that and recording this for really any news to break out. And I haven't watched NXT yet. This is bright and early in the morning that I'm recording this, so I can get this done and posted before the interview that I'm about to do, right? And so Wednesday is like a busy day. I'm probably going to get done with this, and while it's uploading, probably watch NXT. But I do follow. The cool thing with like NXT is that I like it enough that even when there's spoilers, I still tune in because there's still things that haven't been spoiled, right? And so I saw the image of the end of the episode of like this new group debuting. And I want to talk about that for a minute. If you're not an NXT fan, it's not a spoiler. If you are an NXT fan, watch the show. No, I'm kidding. I don't believe in spoilers, right? So I want to talk about that for a minute on who I think it could be, and why this has got me excited, right? So I will say this. If you look at the image, which I think I can pull that up here. Give me 2 seconds. So if you're listening on audio, you have no idea what's about to happen. This is why, as much as I appreciate you guys, you know, listening on the audio form, I really do think the best way to view this show is through the YouTube channel. Just personally, because there are times when I can, you know, post something like this. So let me, right, and it's not the best image, you know, but this is the image from the screen. So let me pull this up real quick. All right, so if you look at this image, you see 4 people, right? Now, I can tell you right now, the person on the far left, right, with the do-rag on, I know exactly with 100% accuracy who that is. That is Shaquan Sugars. Also known by North Carolina as Lucky Ali. And let me tell you something. This has got me, this alone, I don't care who the other 3 are. I watched Lucky Ali grow up in the independent scene, right? So to see him on this level, right? I know he signed, he got hurt in a match on the NXT tours, the state of Florida during the weekends. He got injured in one of those as soon as he signed, right? This dude, like he wrestled at around the same time in Deadlock Pro Wrestling, DPW. That's where Javon Evans came from. They sort of came up together and signed around the same time, right? This guy right here, Lucky Ali, I watched him, like, from the bottom work his way up. That right there, I don't even care what his character is. This is probably going to be, a heel group, right? They're probably going to want you to boo for these guys. I'm not booing Lucky Ali. I'm not booing Shaquan Sugars. That's my dude. North Carolina getting hype for him, right? The guy standing next to him in the middle, that looks like Cutler James. Not 100% certain, right? Because I got investigative. I started looking at the roster. These are all brand new people. Because a lot of people saw the guy in the far right and was like, oh, that might be Deion Lewis. Lennox. It could be. But I think this is a whole new group. So I think it's Shaquan Sugars. I think the guy next to him is Cutler James. And the guy next to him in the middle with what looks like dreads, I think that's Keanu Carver. And then the guy on the far right, I'm not 100% certain. Some people I've seen are saying that's Harlem Lewis. I don't know what he looks like to confirm or deny. So that's the one that I really don't know. But the other 3 I know Shaquan for 100% certainty. I think Cutler James is about 99% certain. Keanu Carver's like a 90% certain. Because there are some other guys that haven't showed up that do have dreads. I know some of these people think, you know, it's like Ice Williams and Elijah Holyfield on the right side. I personally do not agree with that. I do not believe, one, Ice Williams hasn't officially signed a WWE contract yet. He's just WWE ID. But two, Elijah Holyfield is literally did his workout on or his tryout on Survivor Series weekend. Right? So we're 3 months, if that, 2.5 months post tryout. There's no way they're debuting him this early. Unless he got in that PC and took to this like it was second nature and he's already ready, I don't see that happening, right? I think these are established guys. I do. And when I say established, I mean guys that have been there a minute who probably have been seen a lot on NXT Level Up before they canceled it, right? And they're making that transition over to NXT, right? Because the way that I look at this is everyone always calls NXT developmental, right? And I always retort with, okay, it might be, but really what developmental is the PC. If you're in the PC and you're not ready to go on television, they're not going to put you on television. It's the people that they know for a certain when they put them on television, they'll thrive on television. I think is who they'll put on TV, right? So, yeah. So those are my guesses for that group. But the rest of this show, we're going to do two things. I'm going to update my WrestleMania prediction, right? I mentioned yesterday's episode that the results of Royal Rumble completely, and really the results of Royal Rumble and last night, or Monday Night Raw, excuse me, completely shifted my WrestleMania predictions. Right, so I think we could first off take the way too early predictions off the title of these predictions. These are just WrestleMania 41. We're on the road to Yeetomania, right? That's going to be what we're calling it this year. The first thing that I did was I ain't got no clue what nights are going to look like now. So I took out night one, night two from my notepad. I'm just going to give you the matches of what I think happened, right? So we're still going to keep DIY defending the title on the card. But instead of it being a triple or a fatal four-way, I'm making it a triple threat because I'm not so certain that Fraxium's moving up. Until I get 100%, that was sort of like a way too early, like I'm smart, you know, Nathan Frazier's going to show up or Fraxium's going to lose the belts or, right? I'm not so certain anymore that they're gonna move up by Mania season. And so I'm moving it out. It's the same people. It's DIY, Motor City Machine Guns, and the Street Profits, and a tag team triple threat. I do believe that'll be the match heading into WrestleMania season. So some of these matches, I'm really, you know, I'm going to talk about some of these grudge matches right now. Solo versus Jacob. I still have it on the card. I have zero clue if this is the direction we're going down now. I have zero clue where the hell Solo Sikoa even is. Him not being in the Rumble really messed with me. And I think if we want to complain about any booking decision in Rumble, not having Solo Sikoa there, I think was probably the most egregious thing you could do. Right in the story, right? You got another grudge match type thing that I'm not 100% certain will happen. I got Liv Morgan versus Alexa Bliss. I'm not 100% certain on this. Is one of those where like I probably will change this by the next time I update this on the podcast, which will be post Elimination Chamber. And that'll be the last update. That'll be sort of like my final card. It will be post Elimination Chamber. That'll be where I like lock in, right? My answers. I think we'll get a lot of answers by Elimination Chamber in a month. So I do have Liv Morgan versus Alexa Bliss. I think Liv Morgan is too big a name to leave off the card. And I think her and Alexa, I think that this is more of a dream match. There's not really a story connecting them, so I'm very easily to disrupt this whole card, right? And then the last one we really just set up on Monday, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. I'm back to this. This is going to be the match at WrestleMania. We'll get it in Toronto, right? We'll get it in Toronto at Elimination Chamber. You'll get Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. And then you'll probably have Owens win that match, right? If you're booking smart, you'll have Owens win that match and Sami Zayn, or in some fashion where it's super heelish, right? Maybe some sort of DQ, maybe some sort of like interruption or someone comes down. And then you have the Mania match at Mania, in Mania, where Sami overcomes Kevin Owens, right? That's sort of how you would book a baby face like that. But I'm also kind of wondering, is Sami Zayn going heel? Because there's this joke with Karrion Kross where he's sort of the genie in the like his entire character, the only thing he's there for is to sort of give subliminal messages that, hey, a heel turn's coming with this person. So there's a belief that I have that you could have like Sami Zayn cheat in one of these matches, or like they do like a cage match at Mania, and or some sort of like match, like a non-DQ match. And like there's a part of the match where like Sami has to overcome his the good side, and he turns heel and becomes evil by like smashing Kevin Owens' brains with a chair or whatever, right? So I think that could be on the background in this story as well. Some other grudge matches before we get to the title matches. I know I already talked about the tag titles on SmackDown, but we'll save the other titles that we actually care about. Until Street Profits get those titles, I don't actually care about them. Right. So some other grudge matches. I think we'll see Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest start on Friday. I think it definitely will pick up on the way to Chamber. They'll both be in the Chamber, and we'll probably make it official around the Elimination Chamber. They're probably going to cost each other the match, right? Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio, I think, will be the match. A match. And this could be a play where I don't see Liv turning on Dom to choose Finn. That was the direction I was headed in initially, in my initial predictions, was like, I think we could possibly see like Dom and Raquel versus Finn and Liv. I don't see that happening, right? So I just have a Finn Balor versus Dominic Mysterio match happening at Mania. Let's see, grudge matches. Or non-title matches. I have Nikki Bella written down, but I don't know her opponent. Because I mentioned last night, if Nikki Bella's not on the card for WrestleMania, there's really no purpose. Like, the same thing with, like, a Trish Stratus. There's really no purpose. Like, I see a lot of people pissed off that Nikki Bella showed up. Right? Now, ultimately, I don't care that she showed up. But I see a lot of people pissed off that Nikki Bella showed up. I don't see that same hatred for Trish. Nikki wasted a spot. You could have put a new person in. You could have put Shotzi. You could have put, you know, some other debut. You could have put some other NXT girl. We couldn't have done that for Trish. Right? The whole point is the veteran pop, that she's back in the company. So maybe that's the match. Maybe it's Nikki versus Trish. Who knows? I initially was thinking maybe Nia Jax, but until we confirm some sort of story with Nikki Bella, I'm just going to leave this question mark, Nikki Bella versus question mark, because I have no idea. And until we get that story, I don't know where we're headed, because I don't even know what to predict with Nikki Bella. I don't even know if she's going to be here long term or if this was just a one-time thing. another similar situation with that is Logan Paul's match. Now, I think Logan Paul will be in a tag match. It will be Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Logan Paul and a partner of his choice. I'm not exactly certain the road we will pick with that. So I'm not exactly certain. You know, I could see someone like Speed. Probably not. I could see, you know, Jake Paul getting in here. Probably not. Though, that would be interesting to have Logan and Jake. That would be very interesting. And that would be moneymaker. Logan and Jake Paul versus Rey and Dragon Lee. I'm almost tempted to sort of write that down, but I'm not. So those are sort of my non-title matches, right? Well, finally, actually, there's one more. That's Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, right? That's happening. But I mentioned yesterday, I think this is a triple threat. I think it's Roman and Seth initially, and CM Punk's favor, it will be released and asked for post-Elimination Chamber. Will be. Now, because here's what I think happens. Rollins and Punk are in the chamber, right? And Rollins got this sort of thing where, like, Punk's sort of over it, but Rollins isn't. And so I think Rollins is going to go after Punk and like, take out Punk, right? And then if ultimately Rollins will end up losing the match, or you can have Punk take out Rollins and Rollins snap and beat the living hell out of Punk, which then gets him eliminated. But Roman Rollins, I think, will be like the initial setup for the match. And Punk's favor will be, I don't care what you got to do, Paul, you're getting me in this match. I want to finish business with both of them. And I say that this is the match. This will main event night one. Right, because Gunther doesn't screw. And I tried to explain this yesterday. So let's talk about these champions. We'll end with the women's champions because that's a little bit less confusing. But before I preface this, I got the tag champions on here. I got both women's championships. I got the IC championship. And I have both men's. Both women's world titles, the IC and the world tag. Right? I got a lot of grudge matches. I think that's what this is setting up for. There's a lot of like non-title matches with storyline behind them. So with that being said, and I gave this hot take away on the Tuesday episode, I'm of the opinion now, even though I spent the last like month trying to convince you that the two new mid-card women's titles were going to be on this card because Triple H respected them and they were going to give them... I don't believe that anymore. Lyra's definitely out. If the story's not Becky Lynch, Lyra's definitely out. Right? She's not on the card. They don't even respect her enough to even have her focus on that title on Raw. Right? She's going after the women's championship. She's going after Elimination Chamber. Right? So, like someone actually put on X, and I agree with this post, why is she not focusing on her title? She should be trying to defend her championship. Why is she in the chamber? Right? Or fighting to get in the chamber, right? So I don't even believe Chelsea Green and Piper Niven screams WrestleMania. That'll probably happen the Friday before. And so I don't necessarily think we'll get any of those mid-card titles, right? I don't think the U.S. title picture is in an area right now to where that screams WrestleMania to me. So let's do this. Let's talk about IC. Let's do the IC first. Then we'll do the two men's worlds and the two women's worlds that we have left, right? IC championship. Bron Breakker will be champion, I believe, going into WrestleMania. I believe we'll still do the six-man ladder. The six-man ladder style for this title. With Bron Breakker, Ludwig Kaiser, Sheamus, Penta, excuse me, Those four are all the same. I'm adding AJ Styles to this match. He's on the card, or he's now on the Raw roster. Braun Breaker's like, keep him away from me. I think that could sort of be the story heading into it. And my last one is Jimmy Uso. Though I'm not 100% certain with him. I took Dom off because the story seems to be Dom and Finn. So I replaced him with Jimmy Uso. I replaced what I had as Malakai Black, assuming he would show up. I replaced him with AJ Styles, right? But I do think Penta's in this match, and I do think Penta probably wins this match. And the reason I don't have Penta sort of teaming with Rey in them is because I think Penta's due for a push, right? A big push as a champion. I think Braun Breaker's going to lose the belt here. That's going to sort of send him into the world title picture, right? So let's talk about – we'll actually do the women first. Let's talk about your Royal Rumble winner, Charlotte Flair. Guys, this is from the beginning. It's Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton's going to win the match against Charlotte, and I'm convinced of it, right? I'm 100% convinced. Like, if you were to – if I was a betting man and you could bet on wrestling, you can't actually legally bet on pro wrestling, like on the outcomes of matches, because they are fixed. And the reason a lot of, you know – sports betting places don't allow you to bet on fixed wrestling matches is because if I'm the booker, I can go put $1 million on, you know, Royal Rumble and who's going to win the match. And then I'm just going to book it for that to happen. And I could scam the system, right? So you can't actually make a bet on wrestling, I don't think, but let's say you could, and I was a betting man, I would 100% bet with 100% confidence. Bet all my money on Tiffany Stratton beating Charlotte Flair. I would. I'm not going to because that's stupid and I'm not a betting man. But if I had money to burn, I would put a lot of money on Tiffany Stratton there, right? Let's go to the other one. So Rhea Ripley will be champion. And so a lot of people assume this is going to be the winner of Chamber. I do agree with that. And I've flipped back and forth with who I feel was going to be in this spot, right? A lot of me screams like this could be Io. I just don't see that happening. That doesn't scream Mania for me. And I get Wavy D's point that some of these matches have to be for the hardcore wrestling fan who spent their hard-earned money to get there. But you put Io Sky in this match with Rhea Ripley, that doesn't scream WrestleMania match, right? Especially when you look at some of the other matches that could be on the card that are larger than life figures. I mean, you're talking Solo versus Jacob. That's a larger than life match. Drew versus Damian, right? Tiffany versus Charlotte. That's larger than life. Roman, Seth, and right, Cody on the card, right? And so Rhea Ripley is a larger-than-life character. She needs that larger-than-life character against her. Io Sky is just not that. She hasn't gone to that path for me, right? I'm going back to my original gut feeling here and saying this will be Bianca Belair. There was part of me 2-3 weeks ago that felt, okay, maybe they'll put someone new here. Maybe an EO. Maybe like when Jordynne Grace showed up, I had Jordynne Grace written in this spot that maybe she'll win Chamber. I'm going to slow off on that role because I don't know what brand she's on yet. Not that it matters, but I'm just going to slow down because I don't know necessarily if that's the plan. My gut feeling still screams Bianca Belair. And I think this is – I mentioned – That I feel like the story is going to be at some point leading up to Chamber, Bianca's going to take out Naomi, right? And we'll have like a, oh my God, we need some help back here, right? And the camera will start running backstage and they'll do the pan of the camera and you'll see Naomi like knocked out, maybe even pushed on a car again like Jade was, right? And that the story is going to be okay, well, that knocked someone that just took out Naomi, right? And it, Bianca took her out, right? And there's a lot of teasing that, right? You know, she, Naomi hugged Jordan Grace. And so Bianca got a little bit jealous and they're like, what are you doing, right? In the ring, right? I think Bianca Belair wins the Elimination Chamber. I think she goes against Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. I think she wins the title. I think as soon as she wins the title, the next night, that Monday after Mania, I think we get the return of Jade Cargill saying, congratulations, B. So happy for you. You only had to take out both of your friends to do it. And Bianca's looking there like dumbfounded, like, what are you talking about? And Jade's like, well, just look at the camera. We got the footage, right? And it, and then they show both Bianca and, or Bianca taking out both Jade and Naomi, right? And so that's how you set up Jade versus Bianca at a match that feels like it's a SummerSlam match. It's not a Mania moment yet, right? And so, but Rhea versus Bianca, that screams Mania. That screams louder than, larger than life, right? And so there you go, right? This is a stacked card. Like, you got the stars here. And I just, Io Sky just doesn't do that for me. I know the hardcore fans may like Io. It just, you know, I know Wavy D's in love with Io. I just don't see it. I just don't see that happening. All right. So then we'll move to the men's, the two last two matches, the men's. Wait, so let's talk about, who does Jey Uso choose? Does he choose Gunther? Well, I talked about it last night, why I don't think he chooses Gunther, and why I really hope he doesn't choose Gunther, is because, first off, we've already seen that match. We saw that match at Saturday night's main event. 10 days ago now at this point, 10 days ago, we saw that match. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Everyone can agree, right? It was a pretty shitty match. Like, it, there was zero moments in that match. It was really bad. And I'm going to be honest with you. Gunther saved that match, right? Gunther saved that match. This is my issue, right? And so I mentioned yesterday that I'm on the Yeet train. But, like, I'm only going to be here temporarily, right? I saw the train pass. I never really got on it. I'm not on the Yeet train, right? I understand why people are on the Yeet train. I'm not getting on. Here's why. There's two things that I understand about what's about to happen with Jey Uso. History's going to repeat itself. The Yes Movement was a loud new movement of fans. I think that were sort of... Come on, guys. The WWE had no choice but to listen to the Yes Movement, to the point that they started to manipulate them and to manipulate the fans into cheering for the Yes Movement, right? First off, yes is a very marketable word, just like yeet is a very marketable word. The same thing with sort of like Rusev Day. The fans, even though WWE didn't get behind it, the fans did, right? But, or Kofi Mania, right? It's going to be a very short-term memory that we look back and say, should this have actually happened? Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to deny that Jey Uso is the most over person in the world. Right now in the wrestling world. The most over person. Like, and so you do have to strike while the metal is hot. Right? Strike while it's hot. But let's just understand what's happening. And I know Wavy D is like, well, he could just be transitional. He could just be a two-month champion. Okay, and then what? That's my question. No one's ever been able to answer that question for me. We make Jey Uso champion. And then what? Who's next? Right? Who's next? And so... I understand the sort of appeal of having Jey Uso. I do. And I do think he wins whatever match he chooses. Here's the thing about Gunther. Like, I just mentioned about like Io Sky, right? Gunther doesn't scream larger than life let's put him on a poster and sell a match, right? Now, Jey Uso does, but that match, we've already seen it. We know it's bad. We have history with Jey Uso in singles matches at Mania being bad. His match against his brother last year was the worst match I've ever seen in my life, right? So you took that. Triple H saw that, saw the absolute cluster that match was, and said, you know what? We're putting this guy in a main event scene, right? So does Jey Uso versus Gunther scream main event night one or night two moment? No, it doesn't. And I know the whole thing is, well, the moment is about that lasting image of Jey Uso winning the championship. And that's fine. But we've already seen this match. You blew your load on this match, right? So you do something. If you have Jey Uso choose Gunther, which I am very well certain, these last two matches, as I book them, I'm 50-50 on. Because we don't really know where Jey is going, right? And if Jey were to choose Gunther, right, you blew your load at Saturday night's main event with that match. We've already seen it, right? So you do something with, you know, not only have we seen it, but you completely delegitimize any purpose for me watching Saturday night's main event. I'll tell you this right now. If Jey Uso chooses Gunther and we're getting that match at WrestleMania, I will never watch another Saturday night main event ever again, because what you're telling me is that it doesn't matter. You already told me that at the Rumble by having Jacob Fatu get eliminated by the same dude that he almost murdered at Saturday night's main event. Does that not matter? Why is Braun Strowman even in this match? He almost like got murdered, right? And so it's those little booking things that like make no sense to me, right? I have Gunther, because Gunther doesn't scream main event status to me, right? And we can all agree Gunther's not main event. Well, don't give him the main event. Give him the winner of Chamber, which I think will be John Cena. And we stick with my original plan, John Cena versus Gunther. This match doesn't require a main event spot. It's still a larger match. It's Cena's last WrestleMania, right? It sort of fits the narrative of what Gunther has been before. Like, the guy who doesn't care about the flashiness that still can pick up. You know, he doesn't care that it's Cena's last match, because it's Gunther's time now. Cena's just a relic of the past who mistreated the sacredness of the ring, right? And so that means I have Jey Uso choosing Cody Rhodes. This is fresh. There's a story here. You know, I think we're getting a darker, sort of more paranoid Cody Rhodes who, I think we're going, I don't know if it'll be an actual like heel turn, but I do think you'll get like a two-faced Cody who in front of like the media is the shake your hands, kiss the babies guy. And behind the scenes, he's like getting paranoid, the pressure of being champions getting to him. So now he starts to go after people who used to call him friends. And Jey, right, but I also think I think it was B-Master, if I correct. Like, he booked this out. And I'm going to tell you, he's cooking with it. And this is going to be the story I go with as well. I really like this story, right? There's a lot of times, and it's not just like B-Master, but it's people in general, just every single person who's not me. A lot of times they will book out, people will book out and do like a fantasy booking. And I'll be like, nah, man, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because I have this complex where like I think that I'm the best at booking in fantasy booking, because I use like current, like this, the way B-Master booked this out, I was like, yeah, that's how you phase out the bloodline. I like this story. Jey Uso chooses Cody Rhodes. Jey wins the title from Cody, right? That's one way to get me to cheer for Jey Uso, by the way, is for him to take that damn title off of Jey. And this is also a title that's had really bad title run with Cody Rhodes right now. So you can just give it another one, right? And so the story is immediately after Jey wins it, his moment gets interrupted by Roman, who's the tribal chief, who comes down and says, good job, Jay. You got us. You got the Bloodline, the title back. Now hand it over. Right? Now hand it over. Imagine at WrestleMania, Jey Uso gets his moment, and you have 75, 80,000, I don't know how many people are going to be in that arena, but you have a large crowd in Las Vegas and in the Raiders arena, Allegiant Stadium, just yeeting with Jey while he has the title. And you do that for five, 6 minutes, right? Just soak in that moment. And then all of a sudden, Roman's music hits. However the opening drums go, I don't remember it exactly, right? And Roman comes down to the ring, right, and says, "This and this could even be on the. This could actually be the Raw after you get Jey have his moment at Mania. He opens up Raw, and you have Raw after Mania open up with people, you know, 14,000, 15,000. I don't actually know what arena this is going to be at this time. Have all of them open up Yeaton for 10 minutes, right?" And then as Jey starts to get ready to thank the crowd, Roman's music hits, right? And Roman comes out. Good job. Good job, Jey. You made the family proud. You made the Bloodline proud. You brought that title back to the Bloodline. Now, you know what you need to do, Jey? Hand it over. And Jey looks at Roman. And that's when you have this promo of Roman. I worked my ass off to get this back. I became main event Jey Uso to get this back. Uso, right? I'm not handing this over. And that's when that Roman sort of goes, Jey, hand it over. And Jay's like, Roman, it's my tribal chief. If you want this title, you're going to have to beat me. And that sets up, whether it's at Crown Jewel, whether it's at SummerSlam, whatever it is, you could set up Roman versus Jey. Like, I think that'll be a really good Crown Jewel match. Roman versus Jey, right? Because I don't think you should have it be SummerSlam, because I think Jey should win. Jey's obviously going to retain. That could push Roman into vacation, like he always does in the summer. Jey can become champion, having beaten Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, right? And then you move into Jey just having this title run in the SummerSlam, where you can either put over a new superstar, maybe you build up Jey. I think if you could build up Jey as having a competent title run, I can get behind it, right? And I think doing that by having him beat Cody, having him beat Roman, and then putting someone like Drew McIntyre in his way, putting someone like Damian Priest in his way, right? And have him have – if because here's the thing. I don't want a two-month title run with Jey Uso. Jey Uso needs to hold this thing to at least Survivor Series, in my opinion, right? If he wins it, he's got to hold it to at least the end of 2025 for it to be worth it to me. Because I'm not a fan of these, like, let's just swap these titles 6 times a year. I'm not a fan of that. I think he can't be transitionary. You're putting the company on his back. He is the company right now. You can't have him just be a two-month champion. It ruins all that momentum. That's just my opinion. All right, so that's updating my WrestleMania predictions, my card. So I'm going to end this with a react to that like we always do. This react to that, however, is very, very different. In that typically react to that is typically like a tweet that I find scrolling X. Then I'm like, I'm going to talk about this topic, right? This one is going to expose a little bit about me and requires a little bit of setup. There is a genre of YouTube video known as ASMR. That I'm sure you've probably come across at some point. Like, it's a massive thing now, right? It's been around for probably 15 years. And I mean, these creators who do this, if you're a big one, like one of the big, like 1% of the top 1% of this, of the genre. You can make some money doing, not on YouTube, because YouTube likes to sort of throttle ASMR videos a lot because of what the sort of stigma behind it. But for those who don't know what ASMR is, and this is why it requires setup, right? It is wrestling related, by the way. This wait a minute, right? So ASMR is auditory sensory meridian response. It's what it stands for, and essentially, it is the name of whenever like you have a you know, you ever like had someone like whisper in your ear, and it sent like chills down your spine, or there was like a sound, like I'm a voice person, so certain people's voices give me like chills, right? And that's how I know that they got a good voice. Or sometimes like if you eat some food and it's delicious, like you might get like a tingle down your spine. That's what ASMR is. It's auditory, but a lot of ASMR is auditory. So it's wind sounds or the waves or I don't have anything. So some of the big things are like water bottles. Like, there you go. I did ASMR for the first time for you. That's what we could call like a trigger, right? And y'all may have found that sound highly annoying, and because not everyone gets that response of like pleasure from the sounds, right? Now, let me break this down just offhand. I understand there's a stigma to it because I stigmatized ASMR when I first got into it. Because that the M, meridian, that's not a word that goes in this, like, auditory sensory meridian response. Meridian just essentially means orgasm, right? That's literally all it means. They just didn't want to put the terminology orgasm in this word because that ruins the marketing, right? But it's essentially the sound. It's the feeling of orgasm, essentially, right? And you know, everyone, you ever hear like, oh, I'm having an eargasm. That's a beautiful sound. That's what this is, right? Now that's where the stigma comes in, because a lot of people automatically assume that ASMR is sexual in nature. It's not sexual, it's sensual. That's what sensory response means, right? It's a sensual thing. So it uses the sense of hearing. And sometimes, like, you ever go to the doctor? Like, I know sometimes I'll go to the doctor. And you know, they talk in that low office voice. You know, today we're just gonna, you know, I'm gonna take your blood pressure. And, you know, how's your day? You know, they talk in that voice. That's calming to some people, right? And so it's sensual. It's not sexual. There's a difference. It uses the senses to emit a response. And so a lot of it, like there's a lot of it, a lot of the ASMR that I absolutely despise. The people who eat and into microphones, get off the internet, stop it, get some help. The sort of sexual like role play stuff, get that off of YouTube. We don't need that, right? I'm more of a, and I'm not against like role play, right? But so my genre, my subgenre within ASMR that I like to listen to, and a lot of people listen to it to go to sleep, and that's what it does. And I'll explain why I listen to it so you don't think that I'm weird over here, right? I listen to it to calm my brain because I don't want to say I'm OCD, but I have this issue where my brain doesn't turn off when I'm trying to sleep sometimes. And if I'm thinking thoughts, especially deep thoughts, which are often, I think about a lot of deep things sometimes, the brain doesn't want to turn off. And all ASMR really does for me is give me that one thing to focus. So, because I might be thinking about 17 things, and by turning on ASMR, I'm not thinking about one. And in doing so, that slows the brain down and allows me to go to sleep, right? That's why that's the science behind why I listen to it mostly at night, right? Or if I'm at work, I'm a little bit stressed, we're a little bit busy, just put in a headphone real quick, focus the brain down, calm it down, relax, let's not get stressed, right? That's what I do it for. A lot of people do it because of anxiety or depression. And so for me, it's more so the, you know, the doctor role plays or the haircut, you know, type role plays or this particular person I want to talk about. So let's get to how this is wrestling related. This person, she's Canadian. I think her name's Kareem. C-A-R-I-N-E, Kareem. She does ASMR, but she does like sports ASMR, which is very rare. Like, there's not a lot of, because here's the thing. I don't listen to guys do ASMR. I think that's a little bit, I'm not a big fan of guys whispering in my ears. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. So especially in like the women's genre, like the women creators, most of them do like the haircut or doctor or dentist or something like that. Something that you would typically correlate with a woman profession, right? But she does sports ASMR. And a lot of it is, you know, let's talk about UFC predictions. She's a big UFC fan, or she does sports scandals or NFL predictions or something like that, right? And so after Royal Rumble, I posted my Royal Rumble reaction video, and I'm like, I'm laying down. Let's get on YouTube, put the headphones in, right? But then the next day, that Sunday, right? I'm going to bed. Let's go to bed. That Sunday, she posts a Royal Rumble reaction video of an ASMR, right? And so I'm like, oh, I'm definitely listening to that one. I didn't know she was a wrestling fan. Well, she states very early in it, this was the first ever wrestling show she has ever watched. So I want to talk about this for a minute. And I had to set it up because it is ASMR, right? So I don't want you guys to like, oh, go and try to find the video and be like, oh, this is weird. She's whispering. That's why I had to spend some minutes to set that up. But let me tell you what I learned in listening to her video. That really opened my eyes, and this is why what I want to necessarily react to. The medium in which she does the content creation doesn't matter at this point. I just had to set it up. But it is the actual substance of the content that I want to talk about. So this is her first ever event, right? So she mentioned some things, right, that I think are kind of important to talk to. Talk about. First off, she was super positive. She said she's a new fan, right? And this is what WWE is trying to accomplish, right? She said she absolutely, you know, started to enjoy wrestling. It took her a few minutes to get into it, but she loves the sport of wrestling, right? And the athleticism. And some of the things that I picked up on, she was talking about the Royal Rumble. And some of the people she said were her favorites might not be the hardcore's favorites, right? She was like, oh, I love B-Fab. And the B-Fab fan of me said, yes, girl, B-Fab, right? Whereas someone like a Wavy D, and I'm calling him out because he's talked trash about B-Fab, right? He's like, oh, B-Fab's trash. Well, B-Fab's only had not, right? And then the smart mark in me says, well, B-Fab's only been wrestling, like, she has had like 20 career matches, so she's going to look green. But to a person who's new to the industry, who doesn't even pick up on that, to say, oh, B-Fab's athletic, and I like B-Fab, and she likes Lash Legend, and she likes Bianca Belair, and, right? Guys, that's what I'm talking about. That's why the athletes are over, right? Because someone could come from the sports world, and that athleticism is what sells, not the high-flying stuff, the athleticism, right? Because when she talked about, she spent like 2 seconds talking about the tag match, because that's how little I think it wasn't for her in the first point. But even if it, like, even me, like, the tag match was completely useless, right? She said she liked the ladder match. She immediately went to, like, Homelander with Cody, which is crazy because he, right? That people can pick up on that. And then she talked about like the men's. I agree with her when she said that the women's Rumble was the better Rumble, was the best thing on that card. She talked about the men's, and she, without really knowing the lore, I'm trying to remember some of the people she liked. I know she mentioned Joe Hendry and how she wished that she knew like Joe Hendry was in there longer because she wanted to know about him. And I'm like, yeah, man, sure. I know about him. And I wish Joe Hendry was in there longer and treated a little bit better. and presentation. She mentioned, I think she likes Penta. I don't remember everyone she mentioned in this match that she liked. She did mention that she liked that there was some name recognition. So when people complain about like Nikki Bella or Trish Stratus being in there, like I just complained about, well, someone who has never watched wrestling, especially like, so she knew about Trish because she's Canadian. And she said, I didn't watch wrestling growing up, but you knew the name Trish Stratus if you grew up in Canada, right? Or, well, at least I knew Nikki Bella. I never saw her wrestle, but I have that name recognition. And that's the important thing that I think that people don't understand when they're inside. But here's the big thing. And I'm talking to the casuals here, because this would be an argument that I think James would agree with as well, my brother James. And I thoroughly actually agree with this. She said during the match, there were some people that she didn't know who it was, and she used Google to research it, that she wants to learn the lore. And so this is my talk to casual fans. If you are a fan, you would be willing to put in a little bit of, it's not necessarily work, but just put in a little bit of research, right? As a fan of wrestling, right? So for example, right, I'm watching football, if I'm watching sports, I'm watching my favorite team, and there's a guy that I don't recognize on the team, I'm going to go to Google. Who the hell is that guy? Right? Go to Google. Find out a little bit about what may have changed on the roster, right? If you're a fan, I don't care how casual of a fan you are. If something's happening on screen. Now, with that being said, AEW's got to give some sort of backstory and stop relying on so like with WWE, right, they give you the backstory on people on the screen, right? They're very intentional on that. Like when Penta came out, right, they were very intentional on giving us sort of like who he is, right? So people who don't know who he is, they get a basic introduction to him, and then you can go do some other research on him, right? But so for like a new fan like this who has never watched the show to say, well, I was Googling that, like if she on her first episode of watching wrestling, the first time she ever watched it, if she understands that I'm going to have to learn the lore and put in some, maybe some ability to learn about what's going on here, what's the backstory of these characters. I think we as fans, self-proclaimed fans who've been watching for a while or no matter how long you've been watching, right, should be able to do the same thing. I don't know what's going on the screen. Who is this guy? Well, let me go Google real quick. Like I talked about, like, at the beginning, that image, right? And I started doing research. I don't pay attention to NXT Level Up. And so I started looking. I literally pulled up the NXT roster on SmackDown Hotel and just went name by name down the men's NXT roster and was like, okay, could be him. That looks kind of like him, right? And so I don't think it's all that hard. I think that's something that we need to pick up on as fans. Like, hey, we literally have Google accessible 24/7. Anytime we need it. Like, and the thing is like you might be on TikTok and like you hear something, and how many times you hear something on TikTok and you're like, oh, I gotta go verify this, or something on X or whatever, right? I gotta go verify this. Let's go to Google. Am I the only one? Because we research a lot of stupid shit, but when it comes to things we're fans of, like casual fans, apparently forget what Google is. But so that's the major takeaway is that I got there that she was like, oh, I had to do some research while watching this show. And I'm like, shoot, if she knew that she has to do some research, if she's willing to put in that work, and this is her first show, why do we have casual fans out there who insist that they can't do research in the middle of the show? Now, I think it is the companies, because I am in between. Like, I agree with James that we could do some research on what's going on in AEW and who a character is. But I also think that that's a laziness on AEW's part of not giving us that info, but also relying on feuds that happened 6-7 years ago in Japan to tell stories on AEW is lazy booking. Create a new arm of the story that's appealing. Like, don't just rely on people to go and figure out what's going on from 10 years ago in Japan, right? So both can be true. All right, well, that's this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know what you think. Comment, like, subscribe, share with your friends. Don't forget to go to the links in the description. And as always, join the Discord. That link's in there as well. Don't forget about the special interview on Friday with Vicious Vicky that I'm about to record here in just about 4 hours. So that'll be fun. Hope you guys enjoy. Can't wait to hear what you guys think about the interview. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday. Yeah.